Hi, this is Daniel Jalkut.
And this is Manton Reese.
And this is Core Intuition, two developers not developing for Windows. Hello, Manton. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. I don't know how the weather is down there. You know, that's always a safe subject to start with, the weather. But we finally got freezing up here. We're freezing our butts off in Boston.
Oh, yeah. It's colder here. I call it freezing, but that's, you know, Texas freezing is something completely different.
60 degrees.
Right. 75.
Yeah. Well, you know, the weather is a safe subject, but we've had some feedback recently that perhaps all of the varied subjects we go into might not be satisfying to all of our listeners. There was some concern about whether our going into bantering about the stock market was appropriate or not for our show. And so I just wanted to sort of acknowledge that, you know, there's a common wisdom that you should stick to what you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to agree with that wisdom, but the only problem is if Manton and I stick with what we know, we won't have anything to talk about.
Right. We wouldn't make it to 10 shows if we had just stuck.
No.
The first or second show would be done.
So in the great spirit of broadcasting, I think that we will continue to talk about things about which we know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that will still be amusing to some of you as we sit here in our offices and make podcasting fools of ourselves. Maybe it's possible that what we need to do is start segmenting our market.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know some people are interested in Core Intuition the way it is, but other people might like a rebranded version of our podcast.
Okay, so there'd be like a premium version?
Or like for people who are really aggressive and really and really like they don't want to take any crap, we could just have Core Interrogation.
There you go. Oh, I like this.
Right? What do you think about that, Manton?
I think that could work.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? I'm going to be like the AM talk show radio hosts, and I've got your volume knob right here. And if you say anything I don't like, then I'll just shut your volume down.
Yep.
Maybe another spinoff. Help me out here.
Yeah.
Core Intubation.
There you go. What would that one be?
I don't know. I need to look up what intubation is. I think it's a medical. Isn't it like putting a breathing tube in or something?
That would be a really exciting podcast. Does dictionary.app allow you to just do like starts with words? We can just come up with everything that starts with int.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Or we could resort to the good old grep/userdict words. Here, I'm going to do it right now.
Right.
Grep int. This is a little lesson, command line lesson for our listeners. You do, and I know most of you already know this, but there's like one or two people out there who are like, oh, I don't know that, so I can't run with the big dogs. You go to the command line and you type grep, G-R-E-P, space, and then put a quote, and then a little up caret, that means at the beginning of the line, and then type int, and then another quote, space, and then /usr/dict/words, and I'm on my shared host doesn't have /usr/dict/words.
No.
So back on my Mac,
right?
Same thing. Oh, it doesn't have it either. I forgot they hid it somewhere, so I can't run with the big dogs either.
It's buried in like system library core services slash something.
Yeah, other. Where did they put it? Well, this is no good. I'm going back to Linux. I'm going to develop for Android. That's it. I'm fed up.
Oh, don't do it. It's a trap.
It's a very open trap.
Does that mean it doesn't close around? You can go in and out and without being...
It's a trap that is open to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very dangerous, dangerous trap, but it's open to everybody.
So do you know anyone that has picked up an Android yet?
Oh, I've seen some people who are pretty excited about it,
yeah.
But I don't know what drugs they're taking.
Well, everything I've heard says that it's going to be great. Just wait. 6 months,
yeah.
The marketplace fills up and the apps are there and it's more responsive and the UI doesn't suck. It's going to be perfect.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate way to start your product down the path to success. I'm not saying that Android won't be awesome one day, but compare it to something like the iPhone, which came out on day one with huge limitations. Everybody agrees. Still ridiculous. You can't copy and paste. Voice dialing, I guess, you still can't do. All these features are missing. But nobody was saying on day one that it wasn't an amazing phone.
Ready on day one.
I have to admit, I haven't tried it. Who knows? But, you know, some friends who I see on Twitter have gotten one and seem pretty excited about it. But it, to be honest, it seems like the excitement of compromise. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, this is kind of a fraction of what an iPhone does. But then I see things like it doesn't have multi-touch and what?
Really?
Why touch at all if it doesn't have multi? I don't know. This is unconfirmed, I guess.
They should have one-upped Apple and did like six fingers.
Yeah, they should have done like two fingers on each hand and a toe and a tongue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that means like, I don't know.
You're electrocuted at that point. Yeah.
But anyway, talking about all these Core Intuition spinoffs, to be honest, listeners everywhere, we're not going to spin off. We barely, as you can tell, are able to get this show out on a every couple weeks basis. And I think we're going to basically stick with what we've been doing because it's the only thing we are comfortable doing. But on the subject of spinoffs, I know, Manton, you were talking about a recent chat you had, I think, with some other developers about this question of spinning off products. And I'm very interested in this. If you stick around a long time and develop your app, it gets bigger and bigger. Or if, like me, you just acquire an app that's already kind of big and continue adding to it, mm-hmm. you sort of end up with a monolithic app if you're not careful. The spin-off idea, I think, is pretty interesting. It could be interpreted in one of two ways, I guess. Like, for instance, Mars Edit was a spin-off, literally,
right.
from NetNewsWire. You know, Brent Simmons, when he developed NetNewsWire, thought, why not have this application not only be able to read blogs, but be able to write to blogs? And eventually, he ended up spinning off Mars Edit into a separate product to keep NetNewsWire as focused as possible. And obviously, I'm grateful that he decided to do that. So I think that's a literal spinoff. And then another way to look at it, I think, is, and this is how I've been kind of thinking lately, is as I'm sort of envisioning where my products can go in the future, sort of ask a test question to yourself, would this be better as a separate product?
Yeah, definitely. This is something I've been thinking about a lot, too. And recently with the latest WeTransfer release, the Me feature in it is completely different than anything else. I mean, one of the problems with the app is that it does kind of too many things. And every time I add one of these things, I consider it really probably should be a small little product. And then I usually come around to convincing myself that, no, you know, all existing users should have this feature, and it kind of makes sense, and it's another selling point because people buy the app for different reasons. So there's pros and cons there, but also just I think as an app grows, you build up sort of good code that can be used for a lot of different purposes.
Right.
And so I'm seeing a lot of new opportunities, and two apps that I've been working on pretty actively are kind of like taking the experience and some of the code and kind of spinning it off into its own thing. Not taking a feature like Brent did by extracting a whole feature and taking it out, but taking sort of like, you know, architecture underneath some of mm-hmm. the UI and taking it and using it for something else.
AKA your special sauce.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. And it's sort of like your head start into, you know, you're thinking about what product you should develop next, and you can sort of think of something completely new outside the realm of your expertise, and that's fine. And if that's what needs to be done right now, then that's good. But you're starting at the start of the race with everybody else there. Mm-hmm. But if you can somehow think of a product that really benefits from your existing code, then you've got a huge head start.
I think also it helps with maybe the products being kind of similar in some ways. I mean, there's some companies that really specialize in one thing. Like when you think about Rogue Amoeba, you think about audio software, and mm-hmm. there's other companies that have the same kind of thing. Even Brent, before he got rid of Mars Edit, it was, you know, all about RSS and posting and reading to blogs. And there could have been three or four more products there, you know, a third or a fourth product, maybe along those lines too.
Right.
That's kind of a nice side effect to taking existing code and coming out with something new, is that all your products kind of have something in common. I don't know. I guess that's kind of the opposite of some of your products. They're completely different and they don't share anything. But
yeah, I think Look at it two ways, I guess. It's probably a weakness in a sort of customer message sense, like in a marketing my company. It's hard to give a one-liner about what it is and what the products are focused on. But then I guess the flip side of that is if blogging or the internet goes away, then right. I won't be left without any apps, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think there's a lot. I mean, let me be real for a minute. Blogging and the internet aren't going anywhere. So probably that is a market area that I should continue to develop further apps in. I was just being interviewed for a podcast. The host suggested a dedicated comment app, you know, for blogs, like yeah. you can read your own comments and moderate them, respond to them, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like, oh yeah, that's a good example of something that probably shouldn't be bloating an app like Mars Edit. Like a lot of people ask for things in Mars Edit, like Twitter support, things that sort of to me don't feel like the core functionality of the app. And I think managing comments, you could definitely see it as sort of something that should be part of this ultimate blog, you know, management application.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of begs the question: is an app like Mars Edit a blog management app, or is it a writing app? And it so far has been a writing app more than anything.
Yeah,
maybe that's something I'll come back to when I'm tempted to add something to Mars Edit. I might think like, well, is this more like, you know, something for the ultimate Swiss Army knife of blogging, and do I want to make Swiss Army knife apps? I think that's a question that most developers should ask themselves.
Yeah, well, definitely sign me up for the comment.
Yeah,
the comment app. The I've been wanting something like that for a while. Actually, I used to just post comments to blogs, and then they're just gone. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I got in the habit of actually copying my comment to, I have this text file, like all the comments I've ever posted on a blog. And I don't comment on that many people's blogs, so it wasn't that big of a deal. And then that became kind of stupid. And I actually created a private blog where I copied all the comments to. And my idea was that two things. One, blogs go away. Websites go away. And every once in a while, I'll comment and I like the comment and I don't want it to go away when that person decides to stop renewing their domain name.
Right.
And so I want a copy of it. And the other part is I was going to integrate it into my blog so that, you know, on the sidebar, you'd see like, you know, places I've been commenting recently.
Right.
You know, it ties in some new content and also is a nice way to point to other blogs that you like. So I'd love an app that could do that. Sign me up for that.
Well, that's interesting. I think I was thinking something different, but
oh, okay.
I agree with you. That is a major, major market demand there for me. For as far as I'm concerned, something that can wrangle the commenting on other people's blogs scenario, which is what you're talking about.
So you're talking about just managing your own blog?
Just managing your own blog's comments, where that's really easy to imagine pulling that into Mars Edit, but it sort of doesn't feel like the same type of action.
Mm-hmm.
It's an administrative task as opposed to a creative task.
Right.
It sort of is nice when you can say about your product what it does. It's called Mars Edit, right? It almost maybe would... It almost makes more sense if it was like Mars Write or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the creative process. It's about having a place to be creative.
Hmm.
But I don't know. I think, for instance, like let's talk about your product for a little while. So
okay.
I can give my my self promotion a rest here. but WeTransfer, okay. I don't know. Let's say that. Well, it's kind of hard to imagine a feature out of thin air that wouldn't be in some way transferring to and from the Wii, but...
Well, and that's... Let me break in and say that was sort of by design. Like, the original name I had for the product, the 1.0 was extremely simple. It was like exactly what you want to do with a product. You don't know if it's going to be successful or not. You invest a little bit of time, you put it out there, it does one thing, and it did one thing, which was movies, copy movies to SD cards that just basically just converted to motion JPEG, which is the only thing that the Wii could read off an SD card. Put a nice UI around it and made it easy for people. And so I was going to call it like Wii Movie Creator or Movie Conversion or Wii Movies or, you know, something like that. And when I talked to people, they almost all said to call it something like that. But I had in the back of my head these other stuff that I wanted to do with it. And so I threw around some generic names and I came up with transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I did because I ended up adding a bunch of stuff that is used way more heavily than the original 1.0. And in fact, there's almost no code from 1.0 in the product anymore. It's almost all been rewritten or, you know, there's so much new stuff that it sort of dwarfs the small amount of code that 1.0 was. But there's another product that is I've extracted some of the code that I hope to come out with one of these days. Is the same way. The name is sort of generic. It could do a lot of different things. I'm committed to only making it do one thing, but just in case I change my mind, you know, it's sort of a little vague.
Oh, you should call it things.app.
There you go.
Oh, that's already taken.
What about stuff? Let's
do stuff. That was really intelligent of you to name it that way. So, here's an example though. So you're like the go-to guy for Wii stuff on your Mac, right? And somebody says, wouldn't it be cool if you could track all of the new Wii releases and like all of the news media surrounding Wii stuff? You know, so like there's all these websites out there with like Wii reviews and new software listings. So naturally, the place to put that is in Wii Transfer, right?
Right. And so that's definitely something I would say no to. But if they had asked me, you know, a couple years ago, that may be something I would have said, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Now I've gone through a couple years of adding way too many features. And I mean, when you add too many things that aren't directly related to each other, it's just more code to maintain, more things that could go wrong. And so what I've been doing literally for just the last year is just going back and making each one, you know, as great as I can rather than, you know, because I have a tendency, it's bad, but I have a tendency to add a new feature, get really excited about it, and then kind of get bored with it and maybe not polish it, maybe only take it to like 95%.
Yeah.
Don't quite put enough into it. And so that's a trap you can fall into when you have too many features, I think.
It's so tempting to want to keep adding features, because it's exciting. New stuff is exciting to everybody, including the developers. But a lot of customers do choose more feature-filled alternatives. But it's always great when you get a customer who just says, you know, I really like this because there's not too many features to confuse me and distract me. And and you know, that's like you say, you get to focus on doing what you do it well.
Daniel, a couple of weeks ago, I think we brought up Cappuccino, the framework where they basically took parts of Cocoa, or, you know, they took, basically ported Objective-C and parts of Foundation to JavaScript, calling it Objective-J, and it's just really cool, and it just blew a lot of people away. Lately, there's been some buzz about Cocotron, which is sort of kind of a similar idea, but targeting Windows.
Right.
Have you checked that out?
Yeah, you know, I've been familiar with this project for, I guess, months, years. I don't know. I think it's been years.
Yeah.
It's actually a one-man project. It's pretty impressive. This one guy, Christopher Lloyd, not the actor, he has, I think, I chatted with him once about this, and I think it's been, some ungodly long period of time, like 10 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
He's been developing this framework that is sort of just a re-implementation of Foundation and AppKit frameworks from Apple. I've been fascinated with this, and what's really great about his framework, unlike other efforts like the GNU Step project, his Cocotron is licensed with, I think it's a BSD license or MIT, something very liberal and lenient for commercial deployment.
Yeah.
The thing is, here's the bottom line. It turns out even with really cool head starts into porting an application from the Mac to Windows, I'm really not that interested still in the prospect of porting anything to Windows. It's such a typical Mac-centric view of mine, but that's why I'm here. That's why I'm on the Mac, you know?
Exactly. How often do you get requests for PC versions of your products?
You know, not too often. It's usually when a Mac developer or a Mac customer has a situation where they are forced to use a PC at work or something.
Mm-hmm.
Customers, they just want what they want, and it's no big deal to them, and it shouldn't be a big deal to them how much actual work is involved or how profitable it would be. But they're good at just asking for what they want. So I often get people, you know, well, can't you just port it to Windows? Mm-hmm. You know, no problem.
And just click the button.
Yeah, but fortunately, there's actually there's a pretty good blog editing app from Microsoft, of all people, on Windows that's very popular. So there's not a whole lot of demand, but I do get some. And it's just never been interesting to me. You know, I think the current buzz about Cocotron, though, came up from a blog entry from my friends here in Somerville, actually, from Ecamm Networks.
Yeah.
They used the Cocotron framework to deploy a pretty simple app of theirs. I think it was the client app for their File Magnet iPhone app or something.
Yeah.
There's an example where I could see it, you know, maybe being useful if I had some service that you know, just needed a pretty thin client on the desktop. I might like to write it in Cocoa and deploy on the Mac, and then try to use this Cocotron to build a Windows version. But not really that interested. Still, for instance, there are apps I could probably port to Windows pretty easily, but I don't know. There's no excitement.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I usually, if someone asks, I don't tell them it would be extremely boring, although that's the truth. I usually say that focusing on the Mac allows me to actually come out with new versions, you know, regularly and add new stuff, and that takes advantage of the OS. And if I had to support both platforms, both of them would suffer,
right?
You know, because I'd be spending all this. I mean, even with Cocotron, like the Ecamm guys said, it took, you know, a couple months to add new stuff to Cocotron and go through, you know, just wade through 1,000 compile errors trying to figure out what was missing in the frameworks. So it's still, for most apps, it's still a bunch of work. But it's funny, I don't get emails that often about it, but I got one a couple weeks ago, and I gave my sort of standard response about, you know, I'd love to, but I'd love to. I'm glad you're interested, but you know, I can't. It doesn't make sense because you know, I need to focus on the Mac. And then I usually say something like, you know, if you Google for similar products, there's some other stuff out there that, you know, either open source or whatever, that'll kind of, you know, get you by. And usually I don't hear anything else. And this potential customer responded and made the joke that he did try Googling, and the first like two or three pages were all my product. So I got a kick out of that. I liked the, like the page rank significance there.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can sell some more Macs, you know?
Right.
Or you can sell them the $1,500 version. But yeah, but this Cocotron 8, I mean, I know some people out there are going to find a cool use for this. And one of the points that the Ecamm guys made was, that you said, as you said, it took them a couple months, but part of that was them just sort of being productive and contributing back to the project in ways that will make it easier for the next team that really takes it seriously and runs with it.
Yep.
Not to diminish the effort that Christopher has made at all, but you know, just it's his pet project, so he's done everything he needed over the years. As I recall, it's like he's a consultant or something and uses this to facilitate his own using of Cocoa for projects. So the Ecamm guys pointed out that, you know, a few more people take it real seriously and deploy products with it, it's going to really help to grow the framework.
Yeah, there's nothing like having a couple real shipping products that are using it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about the flip side of porting, which is going the other way, having, you know, taking Windows software and bringing it to the Mac. A few years ago, I helped a company port their Windows software to the Mac, and that was interesting because it was kind of, I ended up doing the exact opposite, I guess, of what Cocotron does. I took, you know, Win32, and actually not so much Win32, but MFC, which is the C++, you know, framework on top of Win32, which is pretty terrible. I pretty much hate it. I took that and then re-implemented parts of it in Objective-C and Cocoa. So, you know, you could use nibs, but there was this cross-platform code, which was really Windows code, that would call into, you know, to show Windows or dialogues or whatever, and it would sit on top of this Mac stuff. And that was kind of fun. I wonder if you I think helped Fog Creek do the Copilot? Was there anything interesting related to that that was similar, or was it?
You know what? That wasn't really so much a porting scenario, because a lot of that code, actually, the project, what they're using an open source VNC type of a client. So a lot of it was just getting the sort of core library to build on the Mac, which was pretty easy because it was already sort of Unixified. I didn't complete the project with them. I was just there to sort of start them down a potential path. And the way we started it, at least, was just to build a new UI on the Mac from scratch. So if you can imagine, if it's mostly a VNC client, there's not a lot of custom UI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The major part is just having a big view into the other computer. So, but no, I've never done much in the way of literally trying to sort of support another platform's interface on the Mac. So, like, I've done other semi-porting projects, but it's always been sort of firewalling the lower-level code and implementing a completely new UI on top of that.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the best way to do it, really. I mean, I've been involved in other projects, too, where there's, like, a core cross-platform base and then completely native UI on top of that. And I think that's the best approach as a general rule.
I guess I've never run into the situation where it sounds like what you're describing is even the low-level code depends so heavily on platform-specific stuff that, I mean, it would be similar if we were trying to port one of our Mac apps that has Objective-C-based,
right,
foundation-based lower-level code.
Exactly, yeah. That's why Cocotron reminded me of it, because you're on the example that I mentioned, you basically had a Windows app which would require like years of refactoring to have any sort of common cross-platform abstractions, because it just Win32 is all through the thing. There's no way to get it out. So in that case, it made sense to just re-implement parts of, you know, Microsoft's classes in Cocoa and do it that way. But definitely, and then so Cocotron is the same thing, right? You have a Mac app, which, like you said, it's got Foundation all through it. And it would just be such a pain to port that. You know, when you have a, you know, an array of something and you're using Foundation and go through that and change it to C++ everywhere. So something like Cocotron makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. And that actually brings up the point that you could use something like Cocotron. You know, it sounds like the Ecamm guys used it to completely redeploy their app, you know, the UI and all, but there's no reason you couldn't just use the Foundation parts of Cocotron to get your Mac apps, lower level stuff, ported over to Windows, and then write the Windows UI from scratch.
Yeah, that's true. Or I assume it's true. It sounds like something would be possible. Cool. Well, luckily we're not right now having any massive Windows porting efforts, because it's definitely something to be avoided if you're a Mac developer, I think. Well, thanks for
Everybody, thanks for listening to Core Interruption.
Yes. No spinoffs.
No spinoffs.
But thanks, everybody. And also, I wanted to point out that we do have a feedback email address. If we mentioned at the beginning that we do get some good feedback every once in a while. And so if you have some comments, send them to feedback@corent.org. And we'll read them and respond to them.
Nice talking to you again, Manton. I'll see you again in a week or two, I guess.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.